Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
I'll just say, at last. When did Jesus say that? At last. He said, when did he say that? Well, we will see. Obviously, when Caroline and I got engaged, I needed to buy an engagement ring. And it so happened that a relative of a friend worked up in Hatton Garden, which is really in London, which is the center of the international diamond market. This is where diamonds are sent from all over the world and they are cut and prepared and distributed to countries all over the world. And this man, I never met him before, but he was actually responsible for the pricing of all these diamonds. He had the sort of key job to decide what each one was worth. Of course, this is at trade prices rather than the retail prices. So I was given this introduction to him, and it was arranged for me to go up and meet with him in his office up in London. And when I went into his office there on his desk or table, really, it was a big table, there was this black beige cloth, baize cloth, and on it there were all these diamonds. I mean, there must have been a fortune just in front of this man's eyes, diamonds of all kinds of sizes. So the first thing he said to me is, do you know anything about diamonds? So I said, no, I don't know anything. So he said, well, the value is in the stone, not the setting. So if you tell me how much you can spend, I will find you the best stone that you can have for that price. So I told him how much I had to spend. It seems a ridiculous amount now, but of course in those days it was worth a lot more, comparatively. And so he selected a stone, and he said, now, this is a, and he described what kind of diamond it is. He said, that's a high-quality diamond, and it's been cut extremely well. That diamond will always hold its value. He said the setting, the ring will wear out and the ring will have to be replaced or rebuilt. There may come a time when you will need to have the diamond reset. But the diamond will never lose its value. It will never depreciate. It will always appreciate in value. So what he said was absolutely right. Caroline's ring has had to be rebuilt and virtually the whole setting at one time had to be replaced fairly recently because she'd been wearing it for over 40 years by the time that needed to be done. But the stone is still the same, worth even more than it was then. And he just said to me, if you put the value in the stone, then your wife will always have something that is valuable. He was sort of saying, you never know what's going to happen to you, but she will always... I didn't say anything in response to that. So, why tell you this story? Because God said to me this morning as I was praying, faith is like a diamond. The value is not in the setting, but in the diamond. Faith will never depreciate in value. Faith will become more and more valuable the more you exercise it. And it doesn't matter what setting you're placed in, so long as you have the diamond of faith. And that's why the scripture says, without faith it is impossible to please God. But there's another sense in which faith is like a diamond, because when a diamond is cut, it has different facets. You know, it's cut in different shapes. And this guy sort of showed me through his magnifier the different shapes of the diamond, the different surfaces, the way it had been cut and how well it had been cut and so on. And faith is like that because there are many different facets to faith. You had a faith message on Sunday morning, which encouraged you in faith. Pastor Eric gave a different kind of a faith message here on Friday morning. And this morning you're going to have another but different facet of faith. And this is it. You see that there are so many different ways in which we need to exercise faith. So many ways in which you can describe faith. It's believing in God. It's believing who God is. It's believing what He has done for us. It's learning to walk in trust in Him, in fellowship with Him, in dependence upon Him. It's believing the truth of God's word. It's knowing how to follow the Holy Spirit obediently. There are so many different facets of faith. And when I was praying yesterday morning, God showed me something in the Word of God that for me suddenly became a new facet of faith. It's something actually I'd lived, but without realizing the significance of it. And this came from when Jesus said, "At last." To complete the sentence, He said, "At last you believe." Now, when did He say this to the disciples? Well, He said it towards the end of what He was saying to them at the Last Supper. But He said it in response to something that the disciples said. The disciples said to Him, you find this in chapter 16, verse 30 of John, "Now we realize that you need everything, that you do not need anyone to question you. This encourages our faith that truly you have come from God." And Jesus says, "At last you believe." Now, what caused Him to say that? This statement that we've suddenly realized we don't need to ask you anything. Yeah, stunned silence, you see, because you've never realized that this is at the heart of faith. When you trust God, you don't ask him any questions. While you're asking questions, you're not operating in faith. Why? Because faith is trusting him. And if you're trusting him, there's no questions. Because you believe he is in complete control. Now, you've heard me say, never ask God yes, no questions. Because you only get thoroughly confused. That if you have anything that you need an answer to, you lay it before God and just leave it with him. I've been teaching you that for years, those of you who've been on the team. And you see, without realizing it, that was actually talking about this secret of faith, that faith doesn't ask questions. Faith trusts. Trusts that God is in control, that he knows everything, and no one need ask him any questions. So, Lord, you know everything about my situation. You know and understand all the circumstances, so I trust you. I trust that you will lead me in the way you want me to go. I trust you that you will outwork your plan and purpose. I trust that you will cause me to know and to make the right decisions. That's faith. That's trust. Very good. And Jesus says, at last! Why? Because during the Last Supper, they'd been asking him a number of questions. And actually, that's one of the things disciples did, you know. There were times when the rabbi would sit down and teach with authority and nobody would interrupt him. There are other times he would stand and he would have dialogue with his disciples. And people could ask questions and he'd answer them and so on. That was the way that it operated in Jesus' days. But he'd been sitting with them at this Last Supper and they'd asked him questions, a number of questions. And then the penny dropped. You're in control. You're in charge. The Father has given you all authority. You know everything. You understand exactly what's going on. I don't need to ask you anything. I just need to trust you. One thing I've never understood is sometimes I hear people pray and they say, Lord, will you? Boom, 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 boom. And I thought, what a crazy way to pray. What do you mean, will you? That's asking a question. It's not praying and believing anything. And you see, if faith doesn't ask questions, then you're certainly not praying with faith if you ask God questions when you pray. Hello? It might be a form of praying that some people get into, in which case they need to get out of that form of praying and really pray with faith, with expectation.
Yes, absolutely. Come on.
Now, it's interesting, you see, what John puts immediately after this, because we move into chapter 17, which is this great prayer, what is usually called the high priestly prayer of Jesus before his arrest. And what does he pray at the beginning of this prayer? Chapter 17, verse 1. After Jesus had said all these things, he looked up towards heaven as he prayed, Father, now the time has come for you to glorify your Son so that your Son might glorify you. You gave him authority over everyone. Now, that means that God the Father gave Jesus authority over you. So you don't need to question him. You just need to submit to his authority. Uh-huh. Okay. You gave him authority over everyone so that He could give eternal life to all those you gave him. And eternal life is to know you personally as the only true God. You see, if you know the Father, you know you can trust him. If you know Jesus, you know that you can trust him. He said earlier, didn't he? Trust in God, trust also in me.
Yes.
Why? Because he is faithful and true. And what has he been talking to us about these last few days? His faithfulness. If he is faithful and true, we can trust him. His word will never change. His spirit is the spirit of truth and will never deceive us. And it was like a sort of a penny dropping when God showed me this yesterday morning. Faith does not ask me questions. It trusts me for the answers.
Come on. Yeah. Very good.
Why? Because he knows everything. He has authority over us. He knows and understands what's going on in your life. Now, that does not make faith passive. It is not passive, it is active. So Jesus says, ask and it will be given you. He doesn't say ask questions. He says ask for what you need. Ask for what you want. And it will be given you. That's faith. That's trust. Praying isn't asking God's questions. Praying is asking for the answer. And you see, God has given us the Holy Spirit to give us revelation as to what the answer is. You see, if you're perplexed, God knows you're perplexed. If you're confused, God knows you're confused. So what do you need to do? Shut up and listen. And then he'll sort out your perplexity and your confusion.
That's it. Brilliant.
Not ask him a whole lot of questions. I mean, he understands what's going on in your life now, at this moment, better than you understand yourself. Not only that, but he knows what his plan and purpose for you is in the future. Turn to Isaiah 46. Some of the students were, we were looking at this briefly last week. Isaiah 46, verse 10. Well, we're going to go in the middle of verse 9. I am God and there is no other. Now this is the Lord speaking, not you. Is that all right? He is God, not you. Now to say that he is God means he's the one in control. He's the one in charge. You're not. So you don't become your own God by taking control of your life. Hello? Okay. So I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning. Well, that's okay then. I've got nothing to worry about. Even if I'm at the beginning, he's going to make known to me the end. Nothing to worry about whatsoever. From ancient of times, what is still to come? Because he already knows. Now, this is the part we want to say. I say, my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. So what are you worried about? What questions do you have? I will work my purpose out. Don't you believe that? I will lead you to the answer of your predicament, your need, your healing, or whatever. Don't you believe that? You see, and when the disciples came to the end of their questions, Jesus said, at last you believe. You believe really who I am. And you don't need to ask me any questions. Look at the next verse. What I have said, that will I bring about. What I have planned, that will I do. Dear Lord, help us. I mean, come on, where's your faith energy? It was the other energy you expended last night. Now you need to stir up your faith energy. Now, you see, you're a little bit stunned into silence because you've got so many questions you would like to ask God. But that's because you don't trust him in the way that he wants you to. That's the whole point. Oh, Lord, what do you want to do with my life in the future? Trust me. Oh, Lord, what am I to do when I come to the end of the course at Rothy? Trust me. Oh, Lord, am I going to find the most beautiful woman for my wife? Trust me. Am I going to have the most handsome hulk like Pastor Colin for my husband? Trust me. Faith. I'm operating by faith. I see this multifaceted diamond. But you see, it's all a question of faith. Lord, I'm confused. I don't know what to do in this situation. Trust me.
Very good.
It's the thing he says to Christians more often than anything else. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. So if you ask questions, the only answer you're ever likely to get is, trust me.
Very good.
Which makes the question redundant. Because you could have done that without asking the question.
Very good.
Trust me. And you see, this is another facet of the diamond of faith. Because if I trust him, I've got nothing to worry about. Lord, look at what these others are doing to me. Trust me. Look what they're saying about me. Trust me. I'm in charge. I know. Now, this is not passively accepting everything. It's actively trusting him in the situations that arise. Knowing that what is not his purpose cannot stand.
Come on.
But what is his purpose will stand. All I have to do is to trust him. And then that which cannot stand will fall. And that which is of him will stand. And that's why Paul says, stand firm. Having done everything else, you stand. You see, but you don't stand with trust in yourself. You stand with trust in the Lord.
Very good.
Amen?
Yeah.
In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. That's the NIV. For God himself is at work within you so that you want to do what is good in his eyes. You see, God gets to work on you to first of all bring you to the place where you want what he wants. Where you submit your will to his will. And then, having brought you to that place, he supplies everything you need to do his will. Now, just get your thinking box working for a moment. Does God want you to do his will? Answer.
Yes.
So because God is not a fool, he knows you can only do his will if you know his will.
That's it. Very
good. Therefore, in order to fulfill what his purpose is for you, he is going to make known his will to you. So, when there seems to be perplexity and a void, it's because you're still running with what you want and not what he wants.
Right.
And sometimes he waits till you've gone through the list of all the things you want, then you're ready to hear what he wants. Hello? Because there's no point in him telling you what he wants if it's going to come into conflict with what you want. Because you'll just reject and dismiss what he says. So sometimes God has to let us come to that place where there seems nothing. I mean, where am I going? And what God really says to you in a situation like that is, don't try to work it out for yourself.
Right.
Trust me. You see, because what we're tempted to do is to fill that vacuum with an Ishmael.
That's it. That's it.
Think, well, God's not revealing his will, so I need to give him a bit of a helping hand. So let's give birth to an Ishmael. Because Isaac hasn't turned up. But you see, God's promises are fulfilled through Isaac, not your Ishmaels. Are we breathing? So part of the business of learning to trust him is to wait upon him. And to wait for his timing. You see, the trouble with most people is that they're curious. You see, you're curious to know what God was going to do with you in the future. Curious to know what he's going to do with you after Rafi. You don't need to know what he's going to do with you after Rafi. That's only your curiosity. If it was the will of God to reveal to you what's next, he would already have done that. Well, what happens if I come to the end of the last term and I still don't know what to do? Trust me. Why? Because he's going to open something up, isn't he? Trust is active, it's not passive.
That's it. Very good.
It's not just accepting anything and everything that happens as being the will of God, but it's knowing that no matter what happens, God is there. He is with me, he is in me, I am in him, and in all things he will work for my good. And no matter what the setting, I have the diamond of faith. And that diamond will never lose its value. It will only increase in value. So all I have to do is to keep wearing that diamond, keep living in faith, living in trust. You see, if you were to sit down and plan your future, you would get it wrong.
That's true.
And actually, most of you would underestimate what God will do with you. You wouldn't actually have false, glorified vision of the wonderful ministry you could have. Most of you would underrate yourselves, because you would only be able to assess what God could do with you and what you know now, not what he will do with you in the future. You see, some of you have only been here one term, but you've already got a different perspective on your life than you had before you came here. Why? Because faith is beginning to operate in your life in a new way. But that process is going to go on and on and on, continuing and developing and growing. And your understanding of what God can do, your vision of how God will use you, will increase as the revelation of who he is increases. This is why you see that prayer in John 17. Jesus goes on, "You gave him authority over everyone so that he could give eternal life to all those you gave him. And eternal life is to know you personally, the only true God, and to know Jesus Christ, whom you sent into the world." Then Jesus says, "I have brought you glory while I have been here on earth, because I have completed the task you appointed me to accomplish." Now, you see, that's all you've got to do with the rest of your life. Just complete the task that God has for you. Now, the only way you can live by faith is by living today, not dreaming about the future. You see, Jesus says, take no thought. Say no thought.
No thought.
Say it again, no thought.
No thought.
Put the emphasis on the no. No thought.
No thought.
About tomorrow. Why? Because each day has enough faith challenges. Each day, he says, has enough cares of its own. So you see, God, because you are under his authority, God is in charge, God is in control, and he says, right now, I'll give you a set of circumstances or allow a set of circumstances in your life today, and I've put this diamond of faith within you to overcome in those circumstances today. You will prevail today. Never mind tomorrow, just prove faithful today. Then when tomorrow comes, you'll have a different set of circumstances, and again, you still have that diamond of faith, and I will release in you all the resources for tomorrow. But I'm not going to release in you today the resources for tomorrow. Tomorrow you will have the resources for tomorrow. Today you have the resources for today. So you trust me today for today, and tomorrow you will trust me for tomorrow. So why care about the future? Because you're not going to have the faith to cope with it. I mean, if God actually told some of you what he's going to do with you, you'd be scared. I'm tempted to use a word that I shouldn't use when I'm preaching, but you would be very scared. You'd say, "What? Me? I can't do that." And God says, "Yeah, I know. But you're an idiot. You wanted to know what was in the future, so I told you. Now you're going to live in fear for years." I think it's best not to inquire about what you do not need to know.
That's it.
If you just trust God today, love those around you today, because you need to be merciful today, just let the grace of God work in you today, then actually you've taken the next step to fulfilling everything that He has called you to do in your life. And you see, this was Jesus' prayer. That He had completed the task you appointed me. He's talking to the Father. I have completed the task you appointed me to accomplish.
Right.
Now, the only thing that matters to me for the rest of my life is that I complete the task that He has appointed for me. But that's all that matters for you. Even though most of you are a lot younger and more inexperienced in the things of God, the thing is that you, if you trust Him, you will complete what His call is upon your life. But you can only do that by faith. Yes, it'll be faith working through love, but it has to be by faith, by trust in Him. So we come back to what God was saying to us a few days ago. We prove faithful in small things. What are the small things? The small things is what God puts before you to do today. Without saying, there's something more. There's something greater. It doesn't matter what you feel. Prove faithful. Even if you sense God is going to do something different with you in the future, He's not going to do it till you prove faithful in the present.
Very good. Very good.
So it's a very simple message, isn't it? But if you take this to heart, it will change the whole way in which you think. Your whole attitude towards yourself, God's purpose for your life, and what He's going to do in the future. So we're blessed.
Yes. That's true.
Come on.
You have this multifaceted diamond. So valuable. It's not a bit of cut glass that is fragile and will crush under pressure. This diamond will cut through anything that comes against you. It will cut through every barrier that you have to pass through. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let's all stand. We'll have the band up ready. I want you to close your eyes. And just thank the Lord for the gift of faith. You have the Holy Spirit, you have the gift of faith. Now thank the Lord that this is like a precious diamond in your life. And it doesn't matter what setting he puts you in, he will always give you the faith that will enable you to persevere, to triumph, to cut through whatever comes against you. He will always give you faith, sufficient faith for that situation. He will be with you. He will never fail you. He will never forsake you. He will never leave you. So thank him right now that he gives you faith for every situation. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now thank him that you don't need to ask him any questions. You just lay your life, you lay your situation before him, you trust him. You know he will speak, you know he will act, you know he will lead you by his Spirit. He will not desert you, he will not leave you to your own devices. He will lead you, he will carry you if it's necessary. He will lift you in those everlasting arms. Whatever is necessary, he will do it if you trust him. Now thank him that you don't trust the setting. You don't trust the circumstances, because faith will change the circumstances. You don't trust your emotions, because there's no faith in emotions. Emotions are like shifting sand. Pura tapari esituri satari eleroba karasitaba. You don't trust in your own ideas, your own reasoning powers, your own abilities, but you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Thank you, Jesus. Now thank him that he knows the end from the beginning. Praise your Lord. Thank him that his purposes will stand, and in your life he will do all that he pleases. Come on, you can just say, Lord, my life belongs to you, and I just surrender to your authority because the Father has given you authority over me. I surrender to your authority so you can do all that you please in my life. You can do with me whatever you choose. You can lead me wherever you want me to go. You can do with me whatever is your plan and your purpose. And I give you glory. I give you honor that as I trust you, you will bring me to the fulfillment of everything that you have purposed for me. I thank the Lord that what he has said, he will bring about. If he's already given you promises, then he's going to bring them about. You don't have to worry. You don't have to think about how he's going to do it. You don't have to try to work out when he's going to do it. If he's promised, he will do it. Hallelujah. What I have said, that will I bring about. Come on. Then he says, what I have planned, that will I do. Not what you have planned. He's not going to do what you have planned. He says, what I have planned. So let's make that personal. What I have planned for your life, that will I do. Come on, just give him glory for that. He is going to ensure that what he has planned for your life, he's going to do. Now thank him that he's at work within you to will what he wants.
So he waits until your will is in line with his will. Then he knows he can reveal to you what it is he wants. So just thank the Lord. Lord, I'm bringing my will in line with your will. So that whatever it is you reveal to me as your purpose, I will willingly and joyfully accept that as your plan and purpose for my life. Hallelujah. What I have planned, that will I do. Just thank the Lord that He will do it. He will do it in you. He will do it through you. But He will do it. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, give Him glory. Give Him glory. Give Him glory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Kokara sata bara satuba. Come on, you can give Him more praise than that. Hallelujah. Thank Him. Thank Him that you don't have to worry. That you don't have to take any thought for tomorrow. Hallelujah. Now thank you that He's given you all the faith and all the grace for today. Whatever you need for today, you have. All you've got to do is trust Him. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands now and praise Him. Oh, we bless you, Jesus. Oh, we bless you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.